Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning on this Wednesday, September 17th. We're talking about bailouts following the Federal Reserve's decision to step in and save AIG giant, the insurance company. How much should the government be willing to bail out financial companies in need? And how much should you foot the bill if it's for the sake of the public good, as the Fed says? Stephen sends us an email saying, "So much for the power of free markets, supersize me companies, and the wisdom of Wall Street. Welcome to the world's greatest debtor nation, doing our best to bring you the world's newest third world country." Or is that the world's newest third world company? What's your take? Give us a call, 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. John?
Joining us now from the Kremlin is Stephen. Actually, no, we love Stephen. Actually, that's a great comment. And the world's greatest debtor nation is actually a story we do constantly on this show. But we're learning why they call them river systems and not just rivers. For residents of the St. Louis area, it's the calm after the storm. But Ike may be gone from the Midwest, the hurricane, but the region is dealing now with severe flooding pushed through the Mississippi Basin, with the water extending all the way from the Gulf of Mexico up to the northern reaches of the Mississippi and Missouri and Merrimack rivers, which surround St. Louis and pose serious risks to other communities nearby. The Mississippi River is expected to crest on Wednesday night, and we're joined by Adam Allington, a reporter for KWMU Public Radio and St. Louis. He's been covering this aftermath of Ike story all week. Adam, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
So, you know, it feels to me as though there's a wave that started in, Texas and moved its way straight up to the river system around St. Louis. What are you dealing with right now?
Right now we're dealing with, it's kind of the typical scenario of a slow rise on the Mississippi River affecting downtown St. Louis, and then also rises on the rivers immediately surrounding the city, the Merrimack River, the Missouri River, the Illinois River.
And the impact of Ike for you was principally rain, or was it rain, wind, and surge? What are you dealing with specifically from the storm?
Well, it was principally rain. I mean, the region just got soaked on Sunday, just a lot of rain all at once, and that caused a lot of flash flooding. Actually, we had three fatalities here in St. Louis, but long term, I mean, that weather went all the way up to Chicago. There was significant flooding in Chicago, and all that rain is making its way now down the Illinois River and then also into the tributaries around St. Louis. And that's where we're seeing the rivers rising quite quickly along the periphery, and there's just a lot of sandbagging efforts and homes and property that's going to be underwater.
And when you're in a river city like St. Louis, there's really nowhere for the water to go. You're in the bottom of the basin, and the river
that's
is where
right.
the water goes. And it's a chain reaction.
Right. We're in a floodplain, and that's become the nature of flooding in the Midwest, especially along the Mississippi, is that there's been so many levees that have been built that have restricted the width of the Mississippi River, not just the Mississippi, but all the major rivers, and that's just sort of pushed the water farther down for someone else to deal with. In St. Louis City, we're actually pretty lucky. We have a very big levee system, a flood wall downtown, so it would have to be really drastic for St. Louis City to see the kind of flooding that, say, Cedar Rapids, Iowa saw in June. But for the outlying areas south of St. Louis, north of St. Louis, where they have just small agricultural levees, they've seen really drastic flooding, not just now, but also, like I say, earlier on in June and before that in March, really several major flood events in the last 6 months.
And speaking of those June floods, which were unprecedented, we've
right.
seen reports that utility agencies are saying that right now the potential for the flooding and some of the flooding in the St. Louis metro region is actually worse than it was in June.
That's right. We just got so much rain locally right in St. Louis. It was kind of like pouring a bathtub into a teacup, and the water just it was kind of the opposite of what we're used to. Like I say, where we see flooding at the periphery on the rivers, this really started right in the middle of the region. Now it's flowing out, and a lot of people without power, a lot of people with water in their basements right now, which is a health hazard.
Adam, when you talk to your friends and neighbors and people in the community about their view of these events, are people feeling less secure about the infrastructure? St. Louis is right next to the river, and generally people in St. Louis don't give it much thought, but I'm wondering if that's changing.
I think it is changing. I mean, in St. Louis City, in the major downtown area, again, people feel pretty secure, but in the sort of metro region, there's a big discussion now about floodplain development and the building of these levees and if it's really worth it, essentially. I mean, we had this major, major flood in 1993, the Great Flood of 93, which is the record by which all this discussion is based on now. But since then, there's been about 28,000 homes on 6,000 acres, all built in land that was underwater then.
Wow.
And people are now just wondering, when these places continually get flooded and they continually have to rebuild, is it worth it now? Because we've seen that again in the last 6 months, we've seen these areas flooded several times.
Adam, given what's happening today, what kind of efforts are being made to prepare for what could be more extensive flooding in the region?
Well, we really dodged a bullet this time because we've had a pretty clear forecast all week, some dry weather, so we're able to just sort of let that water flow into the rivers and deal with it by sandbagging. But if we'd gotten more rain this week, we would have been dealing with another crisis situation. Again, so right now it's kind of a slow, well, not a slow rise, but it should crest on the Mississippi and Merrimack rivers sometime late tonight or early tomorrow morning. And then the water should recede quickly from that point. But right now people are sandbagging. Again, there's really not much people can do. Some communities are implementing flood buyout programs to buy homes and properties that are in this floodplain.
But in general, it's watching the river flow. That's sort of the strategy at this point, watching the river flow and thinking about the tough consequences of riverfront development. Adam Allington, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Adam Allington is a reporter for KWMU Public Radio in St. Louis, where they've had significant flooding. And now for headlines from Femi Oke.
Thank you. Just coming up to 29 minutes past the hour.